I love that.
Whew. That's loud.
I love that line. Yeah. I've never seen him raise the dead.
Yeah.
But I know when he lifted me. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I remember when I became alive. How about you? Somebody said, I don't really know you. I don't really believe you can know you're saved. Well, you can know you're alive, don't you? Amen. If I were to ask you right now, how do you know you're alive? Well, I'm breathing and I'm moving. Well, amen. I know I got saved because something inside me came alive. Oh, my goodness. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter number 35. Now, if you were in Rockmart this morning at the Calvary Baptist Church where my son's a pastor, you would be hearing the exact same message. I have been thinking all week long about our young people because of the service tonight. It will kind of be not really dedicated, but they'll be in charge of our service tonight, our kids. And I've been thinking along the lines of preaching about our children and our homes. And I had a message on my heart, and Levi had one on his heart, and we got to talking on the phone. And what are you pointing at, Miss Edwina? I'm sorry. Go right ahead, hon. Yep. Amen. That's good stuff, amen. Yes, he does. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think where I was. Me and Levi was talking. And I've been thinking all week about preaching about our homes and our families. You know, our church is only as strong as our homes are.
Amen.
We are living in a time where our homes are under attack. The value of a marriage doesn't mean anything in our nation anymore. We're living in a world, y'all buckle your seatbelt, when it's okay for two men to stand in the altar and say, I do. Let me tell you something. It'd be a cold day in the Booger Man's house when they stand right here. Our two women, either one. Amen. And we're covered in our Constitution. We're covered. Amen. Amen. They can't come in and sue us. If they do, they lose. We're living in a day when there's little value put on the home. Not much value put on our children. Our children are pretty much outcast. And they're just pushed to the side. You don't see families out together. You see kids out by themselves. And you see daddies and mamas out by themselves. You don't see them preaching in the door on baby dedication. I said, that's exactly what I'm preaching. But it's different people and different scripture. I said, well, tell me yours. And he told me his, and I said, I like yours better.
Yeah.
Thank God for a son who studies, amen. So I told him I would give him credit for the help with the message this morning. But get my picture up there, Ryan, if you got it. Is it up there, Drew, somebody? There it is. This morning, I want to preach this thought. Who is God in your house? Who is God in your house? And I guarantee you there is a God in your house.
Amen.
You say, well, no, there's not a God in my house. I'm an atheist. Oh, yeah, there is. Your God is whatever you worship. Your God is whatever you put at the highest priority in your life. That's your God. We're living in a day when T-ball is God. Oh, don't die on me now. I said we're living in a day when T-ball is God. We're living in a day when fast pitch softball. I know people who are out of church today because their little girl can throw a softball and they're traveling all. What are you saying? I'm saying that's God. When it becomes bigger than it. Some of you got a 19-foot piece of fiberglass with a mercury hanging off the back of it. That can be God too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against them. If you're real convicted about the one you got, bring it to me. I'll take that burden off of you. Me and Chris will go to Gunnersville. Amen. Catch fish. Hey, I'm not against bass boats. I'm just saying, if it gets bigger than God. And we're living in a day, especially this time of year. This time of year, the flowers are blooming, the sun's coming out, the water's warming up, and the bass are jumping. Oh, I wonder how many at the lake this morning. Who's God in your house? Some of them got money as their God. You drive down through some of the nicer neighborhoods around here and you'll see what their God is. Their God's a Jaguar or a Mercedes. Ain't nothing wrong with them. I'll take one of them if you need to get rid of one too. The Jaguar, Mercedes, ain't nothing wrong with a big 5,000 square foot house if you can afford it. Not in their CDs. I ain't talking about the ones you listen to in the truck. I'm talking about the ones at the bank. Their God is in their money. Now listen, whatever your God is, now stay with me. We're going somewhere. I'll read the scripture in just a second. Whatever your God is, trouble's coming. And whatever your God is, more than likely, is going to be who your kid's God is. Do you understand that your children are probably going to turn out just like you? But 9 times out of 10, they carry it to another level. Are you listening to me? My son is one of the best pastors I know. There's no doubt about it. I don't care when I talk to him. I told him the other day, I said, you need to spend more time at home, son. Every time I talk to him, he's in his office. He's studying. He's praying. I mean, that kid's got a brain in his head. He must have got it from her. What I'm saying is my kid is become what I am, but my son is carrying that to another level. And that's a good thing. But what if I was a dopehead? What if I was a wife beater? What if I... Boy, this ain't camp meeting time. This ain't normal Sunday morning, I know. But I'm worried about our children. Because I'm looking at us. And when I look at us, I'm wondering, is this what they're going to be? I've seen it over and over and over. I watch a wife nagging all the time. I'm talking about that old voice that gets in your head and it sounds like bees are buzzing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That voice that just drives you crazy. I've seen it over and over in this church. And now I see their daughters. Just like them. They're gonna become what we are. Now, somebody said, I want the best for my children. Well, you need to want the best for yourself. Right. I want my children to turn out well. Well, you need to be turning out a little better than what you are. How many of you would say, I could do better? Come on, I could do better. I could do better as a Christian. I could do better as a husband. I could do better as a daddy. I could do better as a pastor. I could do better as a citizen of this country. We could all do better. Amen. I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 35. Did I tell you where to go? Genesis chapter number 35. Now I want you to notice there's some things about old Jacob. Y'all remember Jacob? Jacob had a twin brother. Let's have a little Bible quiz. Who's his brother? Esau. Who was born first? Okay. So a few of you got it a little bit. So Jacob's name is trickster or supplanter, cheater, con, liar. That's what his name means. Later the Lord changes his name to Israel, a prince. But Jacob, I can identify with. Jacob didn't always do right. Are you listening? Jacob wasn't always right with God. Jacob in many days thought more about himself than he did anybody else. Anybody self-centered? Anybody in love with self? Well, I am. I promise you, I ain't never thought about committing suicide. Because I'm loving me some Eddie White. Amen. I thought about killing a few of you, but I ain't never thought about shooting myself. Somebody help me right there. Somebody said, I'm so depressed, I feel like killing myself. Not me, boy. I love me too good. Amen. Jacob, I just identify with this guy in so many ways. But yet we see in Jacob's life, even when he cheated, even when he lied and he done wrong, it's just like the choir sang this morning, God was with him. Yeah. God was with him and God blessed him and God showed him grace and God showed him mercy. In Genesis chapter number 35, I want you to look at it with me. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Now I want you to listen to me just a second. I want you to notice in our scripture this morning that Jacob returns to a place called Bethel. Now, I don't know if you're aware or not, but the name Bethel, you know what it means? That means the house of God. Jacob returned to the house of God. This was a command that was given to Jacob earlier, but he neglected that command. But here he is obeying God finally. Hey, look, here's what I'm trying to say. Daddy, it ain't never too late. It ain't never too late to get your family back in church. I said it ain't never too late to get back to the house of God. You know what's wrong with this country? A lack of interest in the house of God. We're living in a day when the most famous preachers in America are jokes at best. Amen. I mean, they won't preach you the truth. They won't stand here and tell you, "Daddy, you better rise up or you're going to lose your family." They won't tell you how good you are and make you feel so much better about yourself. Hey, listen, before I never get better, I got to realize something's wrong. Amen. We okay this morning? Amen. Jacob got back to the house of God. The Lord came to him, and I'm not the Lord by any means, but I am his messenger. Yeah. And you know what God said? Get back to my house, buddy. Get back to my house, buddy. You know what? I'm going to lose somebody right here, and I don't want to. My heart is not to make anybody mad or offend anybody, but I wonder where some of you are on Sunday night.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead,
brother. I wonder where you are on Wednesday.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God you're here on Sunday morning, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad you're here. If I can only get you one day a week, or 1 week a year, that's good. Well, I'm glad you're here. But man, God's doing something here on Sunday night. And God's doing something here on Wednesday night. God's moving on this place. Listen, I tell you, there's a whole lot of places my children could be. I'd rather have them right here tonight in this youth service with that youth choir singing. I'd rather have them right here with these young boys preaching tonight. Micaiah, are you ready? Amen. Boy, it's going to be good. God said, "Jacob, come back to my house. Come back to my house." There was a day when the average family in America was faithful to the house of God. There was a day when kids didn't say, "Are we going to church today?" Samuel, I wonder how many times you had to ask that question. "Hey, Daddy, it's Sunday. Are we going to church today?" I know what Daddy would say. "Yeah, you go whether you like it or not. You can go with a smile or a pinstripe behind, whichever one you want." Somebody said, "Well, I just don't believe in making your children go to church." You make them go to school, don't you? "Well, I just don't think you ought to make them learn math. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I don't think they ought to have to study English. I think it should be their choice." I tell you what, you get your 7-8-year-old boy, you go in there in the morning and you wake him up and say, "Baby, do you want to go to school today? Or would you rather go Six Flags?" See what kind of answer you get. Well, it's important that they're educated. It's important that they have an education about God, too. And they know God's existence. Amen. And they know the power of God. Hey, it's important that we raise our children in church. Sometimes we have so many ministries, and we have three services going on right now while this service is going on. Our children's, our juniors, and then our teens, they're all having a service right now. Sometimes it grieves me that they're not all in here together. That's why I love Sunday night. It's the only service we have every week where we're all together. I like that. I'm worried about our children. And I think one of our biggest problems is a lack of concern and a lack of faithfulness to the house of God. God says, "Jacob, get back to the house of God." Now watch what Jacob does in verse number 2. "Then Jacob said unto his household." Look at that with me. "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him." put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. Yeah. Now, God tells Jacob to get back to the house of God. Jacob assumes the role, now don't get mad with me, ladies. Jacob assumes the role of a man. And Jacob stands up in his house and says, hey, y'all get ready. We going to church. Amen. Not do you want to go? He didn't ask their permission. Notice he did not go to his wife and say, sweetie, honey, darling, do you think it would be okay if we made the kids go to church tomorrow? God said, get back to my house. Jacob stood up and said, hey, we're going. But you know what? Probably somebody in the house thought, yeah, boy, you want to get all high and mighty today. I see. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what daddy did in the past. It doesn't matter about daddy. He can forgive daddy. And he takes the role of leadership in his family. Guys, I'm sorry. I wish it weren't this way, but it's just the Bible. We got a lot to answer for. When we get to heaven, I don't think God's going to judge our wives too harshly for how our children turned out. Don't dry up on me. I believe God's going to hold us accountable. I believe I'm going to have to stand and give an account to God for how I've led my children, how I've led my wife, how I've led my own life. Hey, are y'all listening to me this morning? Jacob decides to take the role of leadership in his family. And when God calls you to go somewhere, it's good to take your kids with you. Amen. It's good to take your children with you. Amen. Amen. Now listen, in studying this thing out, Jacob's kids aren't nursery age children. They're adults. Young adults. It's never too late. It's never too late to lead your daughter, your son-in-law, your son, your daughter-in-law, your grandchildren. It's never too late to lead them in the right direction. Listen, it's always good to go to God. Jacob evidently had enough respect of his own family that when he stood up and said, hey, we're going back to the house of God. You ever been out? You ever been away? Somebody help me. Have you ever been away from God? Backslid, just out. How good was it when you came back? Hey, some of you here this morning, you've been out of church for years. That choir got to singing, people got to praying. I watched tears start rolling down your hat, down your face. Hey, it's good just to be back in the house of God. Thank God you're in a place where ain't nobody judging you. Ain't nobody casting judgment in your direction, or what do they think they're doing here? We're glad you're here. I don't care where you was last night. I'm glad you're here this morning. Amen. Ain't it good just to be back in the house of God and around the people of God? Now, I want you to notice something. God commands Jacob in verse number 1 to get back to Bethel, to the altar. God's given Jacob an altar call, if you will. Amen. We're going to have one here in a few minutes. I wonder how many had come. I wonder how many had come. You saw I've been a member of this church for 30 years. We still need to come pray. Amen. God gives Jacob an altar call, number one. Number two, Jacob gives his family an altar call. But I want you to notice where they were previously. Notice that. Look back at it with me, if you would. At verse number 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, watch this, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. They were worshiping idols. Jacob, the brother of Esau. I'm talking about supposed to be a godly man. His own family is worshiping idols. I wonder how many of you would be ashamed if I walked in your teenage boy's bedroom at the stuff hanging on his walls. Boy, it got quiet. I visited a family one time, it's been years ago, The lady's husband had died and she said she couldn't do nothing with her son. I went into her house and they had that famous picture in the dining room of the guy praying over the loaf of bread. You know what I'm talking about? That old picture. They had that. They had the door knocker that said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And I walked in, just a godly house family Bible laying on the coffee table. I sat down with her and I said, "Well, where's your son?" She said, "He's up there in his room. He's probably got his door locked." I thought, well, I'll kick it off the stinking hinges. I said, "Who's paying for that door? You or him?" I'm smiling while I say it. Amen. I mean it with all the love I can muster in my heart. I walked into his bedroom and he's sitting on the edge of the bed, had on a pair of headphones. I spoke his name 3 times. He never heard me. I finally snatched him off his head. The pictures on his wall was borderline pornography. I turned around, walked out of his room, went back to his mother. I said, "Sis, it's clear to see you've got control over every part of your home but that one room." I said, "Until you clean that room, you're not going to clean that boy." He said, "Put your false gods away." I like what he called them. He called them by name, false gods. He said, "Y'all had to get rid of your false gods and we're going back to church." I thought that was pretty good, man. I already hit it in the beginning of the message this morning, but there's some false gods we probably could put away. Amen. Amen. You know what my mama told me? She's not here this morning, but she didn't tell me. She told J.P. Denton. J.P. Denton, if you ever played ball in Paulding County, you know who J.P. Denton is. He was all our coach. He was my baseball coach, and I loved baseball. I played first base and right field sometimes, but I loved to play baseball. They wouldn't let me play football, Brother Chris. I was too big. They're afraid I'd hurt them other boys. Amen. But I played baseball. And my mama, I'll never forget, J.P. Denton's a big old man. My mama is probably most responsible for him being saved. My mama stood on the bleachers with her finger in his face. And she said, "You let me tell him right now. My boy won't be at no practice on Wednesday night." Amen. She said, "At 7 o'clock, 7:30 back in." She said, "South Springs Baptist Church, he is not practicing on Wednesday night, and you will not bench him for not showing up to practice. Do you understand me?" Y'all know my mama. I'm not exaggerating one little bit. She said, "Do you understand me?" She picked up his children, took them on the bus every week to church. She stood there with that finger pointing his face. And you never saw a 6'2", 250-pound man so scared in his life. He said, "Yes, yes, ma'am." I started every game. It didn't matter if I was even good. He was scared of my mom. But she set a precedent. She said, "We're going to be faithful to church." And you know what? I've never, never missed a single blessing because of it. He said, "Y'all gonna have to put them strange gods away from you." I don't know why I'm getting on baseball so much this morning. There may be a reason. I tell you what, do Wednesday night, circle our parking lot and then circle Gold Dust and center fields. So who's got the bigger crowd? There's liable right down here on the right in Fullerville Park. There's liable to be 1,000 people down there kicking a soccer ball this afternoon. Strange gods. We need to put them away. Whatever it may be, I had a whole big list of strange gods I was going to name this morning, but I'm not. You know what it is. I know what mine is. How many of you? Be honest. You know what it is? Yours got 4 legs. Chris, he just turned red. Mine too, brother. I'm with you. Talking about horses. We happen to love them a little bit. Amen. You know what your gods are. Sometimes we're going to have to put those gods aside. So the God, capital G-O-D, can be God. God says, "Jacob, get back to Bethel." Jacob says, "Family, we're going back to Bethel. But before we do, I want you to put your strange gods away from you." Amen. Now I want to show you 3 things this morning. I'll quit. I'll be done by when I'm done. I want you to notice three things that Jacob taught his children. And if our children learn it, they're more than likely going to learn it from us. I want you to notice, number one, Jacob taught his children. Verse number three. The Bible said, Jacob said, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I'll make there an altar unto God. Do your children know how to pray? I'm talking about a little more than now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, that's not even scriptural. Good food, good meat. Thank you, Lord, let's eat. That's not prayer. I call on my grandchildren, Jacob, Jonah, and Hayden once in a while. I'll ask them, I say, won't you say the blessing? And I'm always impressed by how they pray. They don't say, let us thank him for our food. I can't remember that little prayer. They just pray. Amen. Like they're talking to God. Amen. They'll ask to God to bless mama, and they ask God to bless daddy, and pray for our food. And they'll pray for our church, and they'll pray for mama, and they'll papa, and they'll pray for Nina, and boy, they just pray. I thought, man, they learned that somewhere. Amen. Jacob taught his children, hey, we better teach our children how to pray. Amen. When's the last time your kid heard you pray? When's the last time they saw you go to an altar? One lady told me one day, she said, I'm just so excited when the teens get so fired up and they just all go to the altar, but my son never does go. I thought, you don't either. Yeah. We lead our children by example. Amen. Amen. Jacob taught his children how to pray. Do you understand that it's prayer that'll keep them out of hell? It's prayer that'll save their soul when they come to Christ and say, Father, forgive me as a sinner. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Hey, it's a prayer that'll keep them out of hell. Amen. It's a prayer that'll keep them out of jail. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm 51 years old. I have never been behind bars. Not one time. Other than to preach. I've preached in jail. That's the closest I ever come to being incarcerated. But I could leave when I wanted to. Are you listening? You say, oh, you was a good boy. No. It wasn't that. My friends went to jail over and over and over. But I never did. Somebody said you didn't get caught. Roger's back there. Shut up. I don't need no help out of you. We see people go to jail all the time. I thought I was lucky. But Chris, it hit me one day. It didn't matter what time I came home. 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd slip down. Anybody ever come home doing like this? Feeling the walls. Not turn on no lights. Oh, God, don't wake her up. Get back there to my bedroom door and see that light coming out from under that door. Not my door, my mama's door. And I start slipping.